Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We start with the story of digging, which sounds like our underground history podcast with the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. It's almost that. Sula is one of the presenters of Archaeology Night at the Hanley Farm of Southern Oregon Historical Society. Thursday night, August 29th, 5 to 8 p.m. Chelsea Rose, always good to have you in the studio with me.
Hi. Thanks, Jeff.
And we have with us from the Southern Oregon Historical Society, Anna Sloan, the curator. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Jeff. Hello.
So I got to give Chelsea credit for focusing attention and enthusiasm on archaeology, but let's give the outside of Sula view. Do you see an uptick in interest in archaeology?
Oh, absolutely. Well, so I have to come clean as an archaeologist myself. Uh-huh. I work at Sula alongside Chelsea in addition to working at SOHS, and my training is in archaeology, so I've always seen that as sort of a really important route to understanding history. So this is an event that we did last year, sort of combining what we offer at Southern Oregon Historical Society with the fantastic public outreach that happens at Sula around archaeology. We saw a huge bunch of interest from the public in learning about archaeology, learning about the methods, learning about actually the sites that we have right here in Oregon, which are fantastic and that few people know about. I think it's events like this that really bring attention to this important way of understanding the past.
So second time around, how well attended was the first archaeology night?
Gosh, Chelsea, do you remember how many folks we had? I was impressed with how many.
I don't know. It was pretty solid for 3 hours, like hundreds?
I want to say probably 100 to 200.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for you, Chelsea, I mean, your enthusiasm is just permeates everything around you, it seems like, for archaeology. And then, but I mean, even so, I mean, have you had some reservations about, like, thinking that people would get interested in it too?
I think that the more people get into it and understand it, the more stewards you have to encourage good archaeology and good respect and interest in heritage and you know, the history of the places around us. So the more avenues we can create to have that face time and to kind of create that educated enthusiasm, I think the better.
Ah, educated enthusiasm. I'm glad you added that adjective there. Because I did find myself thinking about the public service announcements for the 811 utility locate, you know, call before you dig. I mean, even in your own yard, if you decide you're suddenly enthusiastic about archaeology, what kinds of cautions should you begin with?
Well, Oregon does have laws that protect archaeological sites even on private property. But one of the things that's good about those laws is they're not meant to stop people from living on those properties. They're meant to protect the resources that are non-renewable and really vulnerable. So if you impact an archaeological site, you destroy it. You might have the artifacts left, but depending on the context, that might mean nothing. You know, like an old can be an old can, or it can be an old can that has this really important history and connection to the Southern Oregon. So that's really what the state is after to protect. So people can use, you know, if you're gardening in the backyard and you find an old bottle or something, that's fine. You know, you might want to remember kind of where you found it, because that's what we're more interested in than just what it is. But also, you know, of course, there is deep history to these places that we live. And so if there are Native American components, that's another thing that also we, you know, we are interested in how people have used this land over time. And so it's not like somebody's going to get their land taken away from them, but they might have somebody want to kind of help document some of the resources that they are now the stewards of, and we'd like to encourage them to be good stewards of those resources.
So the approach has changed over time, hasn't it? I mean, it used to be that things were dug up and taken to museums, and now you're talking about a more relational, on-the-ground kind of layout.
Well, that's when you're a private landowner just like putting a fence in or something. If you are ODOT or like a public landowner or getting public monies, then that triggers a whole other series, a different process. That's then you do have to hire archaeologists to come out and kind of inventory what's there. And if there is something there, then there's a series of kind of steps that are taken to say, is it really important? Do we need to mitigate the damage to the site by doing excavation or whatever? So those are things that happen on the next level up. And there are, you know, professionals that help guide, you know, people through that process.
Chelsea Rose and Anna Sloan, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about Archaeology Night coming up at Hanley Farm near Medford Thursday night, August 29th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, the publicity promises Archaeology 101. You're going to be teaching this, Chelsea, can I assume? Or Anna, is that you?
Well, we've got several sort of public education activities planned. So a slew of fantastic volunteers will be helping Chelsea and I to run several of these stations. So, for example, people can expect to learn about what archaeologists do when we're piecing together different pieces of ceramics or glass that we find at different parts of a site. How do you identify important maker's marks or things that can help you understand when something was made, who made it, how it was made? We're going to be doing a little table on stratigraphy. Stratigraphy is one of the most important ideas in archaeology. It's this notion that things get buried in layers that tell you when they were deposited in the soil. So things
subsequent
that are,
civilizations and settlements will go on top of the old ones.
Exactly, exactly. Older things are lower down. In general, there are lots of exceptions to that. but we'll have a little activity where folks can make their own little stratigraphic layer jar, which will be really fun. And I've got little miniature artifacts to put in those for folks to understand sort of the timeline of how things get deposited. What else are we doing, Chelsea?
Yeah, talk about survey pacing and cross-mending. I know there's in there, too.
So cross-mending is the ceramics. And the goal of this is not to, create archaeologists that are ready to go out and do that work. That's what SOU is for. We have a program for that. But it is more just to kind of invite people in to see what archaeologists do. And we have some partners from some of the federal agencies here. Lava Beds National Park is sending an archaeologist over. There's going to be demonstrations on how to use an atlatl, which is like the precursor to the bow and arrow. There's going to be we'll have the Jim Rock Historic Can and Bottle Collection out so people can look at those types of artifacts and learn about why those things are cool, because we don't want people to walk away with like, wow, this is really valuable monetarily. We want them to walk away with, wow, if I found this bottle or if I, you know, when archaeologists find this stuff, it can tell us about the past, the people that made them or made or used these things and what their lives were like. And that's where the really important part of this process is.
When you talk about things like finding ceramic shards and stuff like that, pot sherds, I guess is the term.
Sherds, yes.
Yes, yeah. That it makes me wonder what percentage of anything you might find in the ground can you relate to something versus the percentage of just go, we don't know. It's a chunk of something.
Well, I think that it's, you know, archaeologists really work in patterns, so we recognize patterns of data, and that's where the stratigraphy Anna was talking about comes in. So what patterns, like stuff's younger up top or older, but also where things are coming from, where this pottery is made, how even if it's broken really, really small, that can give us clues about what's happened on that landscape since, if it's been really compacted. So all of those things kind of, they're all clues. So people always talk about Indiana Jones, but I always say we're more like Sherlock Holmes. You know, we're noticing all the weird little things and how they tie together to tell the story.
I've avoided mentioning Indiana Jones for a couple of years now.
You know better now.
I do. I'm curious, though, Anna, when we talk about the stratigraphy, whether there are situations, what are the situations that break the rules? I'm going to assume floods might have something to do with that, where people live along a river, their stuff gets uprooted and chucked downstream on top of something else.
Sure, all sorts of things. I mean, borrowing animals are one thing, right? In many sites, we see the original layers that were deposited being messed up by just incursions of different things. All sorts of natural phenomena can result in what you're talking about, Jeff. Things on the bottom being pushed to the top or being pushed into a loop or a weird situation. So archaeologists, I mean, it's as Chelsea said, the artifacts are interesting, but really more so it's the formation of a site, how different parts of a site relate to each other, how a site's landscape has changed over time, and having a deep understanding of that, because that's going to let you know what those artifacts mean in space. So yeah, archaeologists have all sorts of ways of understanding about how these changes have happened through time. Studying soil, we're really obsessed with soil
and
layers.
And
exactly, exactly.
Been there, yeah. In fact, I remember some of the ground penetrating radar discussions we've had about just figuring out, well, there's no structure here now, but it's clearly that there was something heavier over here on this soil at one time.
And now there's even, you know, archaeologists are able to turn to increasingly microscopic artifacts. So you can look at pollens, you can look at trace DNA of stuff to see what kind of species were there, or chemicals to see, you know, what, the, you know, if somebody, if there was a laundry, maybe there'll be a higher phosphate count. So there's a lot of really cool stuff stuff that's coming up now that people can add to our toolkit, and that can help us ask more nuanced questions. And sometimes the most important, to do more to find stuff out without disturbing the archaeological site, because the more we can leave for the future, the better, because they're going to have even better tools at their disposal.
Archaeology, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. You know Chelsea Rose from our Underground History podcast. This is a one-off from that because we're talking about Archaeology Night at Hanley Farm near Medford, Thursday night, August 29th, 5 to 8 p.m. Anna Sloan from SOHS and SULA, the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, with us as well. Anna, how extensively has Hanley Farm been explored below the topsoil?
Great question. So Hanley Farm is an archaeological site, and it's been a known archaeological site since the 80s, I want to say, Chelsea. And I'm looking at Chelsea because Sula has done several excavations out at Hanley Farm, so she knows quite a bit about the archaeology out there. Several excavations have happened out at the farm sort of in different periods of time under different circumstances. So there was a period where there was an academic who was involved in doing some archaeology out there with a couple of field school seasons. Since that time, there have been numerous sort of utility line projects and installing a septic system, am I right, Chelsea?
Yeah,
that required archaeology. You know, as Chelsea said, when there are these sort of major earth-moving projects on known archaeological sites, proper archaeological documentation is required given federal and state legislation. So SULA has often been the one to come out and help, you know, do excavations along a certain segment of the site to put in a new electrical line, et cetera. So it's bits and pieces, which tends to be what archaeology is. It's very rare to get sort of a full-on picture of an entire site. You sort of piece things together based on the work that needs to be done during a certain time, and that, you know, depending on how you can put it together, it gives you a larger view of what was happening at that place. So we know some things about the archaeology of Hanley Farm. There's more that we would like to know, but it is an interesting and significant local archaeological site.
Is there evidence of a long history of human habitation out there?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best indigenous or evidence of indigenous occupation of that Jacksonville area. It was a very significant site.
Now, Archaeology Night is being done, I see, in partnership with the Oregon Chinese Diaspora Project, which is also Chelsea's baby. Is there a connection between Hanley Farm and its environments and the Chinese community of the area?
No, not that I know of. But we are just going to have a pop-up exhibit of the OCDP, the Oregon Chinese Diaspora Project, and we'll be there to talk a little bit about what we found out this summer. The reason that's kind of a, you know, being unveiled there is just the Hanley Farm is such a great space for coming together to learn about the past. And so the Archaeology Night last year was such a success that we're like, let's keep doing this. So it's basically just a shared space where we can all talk about history and all the different things going on in our region and beyond.
Now, I noticed that it is free, but there is no food provided, so people need to bring picnics, as was the recommendation. Now, what about any kind of clothing or equipment?
They should come clothed.
Yes, please come clothed. No equipment required because, again, we're not doing this sort of as a participant archaeology kind of a thing. It's more learn from archaeologists who want to talk about archaeology, who want to teach about archaeological science.
I was thinking knee pads. So
yeah.
No knee pads required. But I will say that we're excited that the Las Palmas food truck is going to be able to join us. So bring some money and get some tacos and some other delicious Mexican food.
The atlatl throwing. What is it being thrown at?
A bale of hay, probably.
A bale of hay with a target. So, yeah.
I see there's also a history scavenger hunt. I wonder about the other thing called the faunal matching game. Anna, what is that?
So this is really fun. One of our wonderful archaeologists at SULA, Katie Johnson, put this together. She's sort of the zooarchaeologist, the faunal expert resident at SULA. What that means is that she studies animal bones and what they can tell us about how humans lived in the past, because oftentimes animal bones are one of the categories of artifacts that we find at archaeological sites. So this is a fun game where Katie's going to use the SULA Comparative Collection, which is a collection of contemporary animal bones from, you know, someone's cat that passed away or a deer that
road
you found,
roadkill,
this kind of thing,
yeah,
that you process down to the bones. And then you use that when you're having little bits of bones from an archaeological site. You can compare contemporary specimens to say, oh, yes, this looks like a deer femur, or, oh, yes, this looks like a, you know, a seagull tibia or something like that. So Katie's going to bring a few bones out to from this comparative collection out to the farm, and people are going to be able to take a guess at what animal they come from. And some of them are really tricky.
Yeah, it's hard. Harder harder than you think.
Yeah, wondering if there are some tricks in the yeah. bag there from Katie. Okay, so final question here, Chelsea, because we're almost out of time. But have we gotten to a point in archaeology where people don't even mention He Who Shall Not Be Named, Indiana Jones?
Oh, I was going to say there's so many. people. I think now there's enough of an understanding that it doesn't really reflect modern archaeology. There was a time when there was kind of that armchair archaeologist, or like artifact hunter, basically, mm-hmm. is what he is. And that's really not the way archaeology has worked for, 100 years for the most part. So I think there's enough difference that we can all just agree that it's just for fun.
Archaeology Night, Thursday night, August 29th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Hanley Farm near Jacksonville. Chelsea Rose, Underground History, our host from Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. Always great to have you.
Thanks.
Anna Sloan from SULA and the Southern Oregon Historical Society. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.